Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Terry Tracy, our friend CEO from Broad and Liberty, and a really smart guy. That's why people call you, because you're just a smart guy. I think that's it, Terry.
Thanks, Dawn.
He's like, I'll what is she talking about?
He's like, yeah, okay.
Tallest midget of the circus. Are you allowed to say that? Probably not.
Yeah, you can't say
that. Well, Hank Johnson learned that you cannot say that, sir.
Oh, jeez. I'm already in trouble. It's been
10
seconds.
The M word, yes.
Yeah. You're in big trouble, buddy. Spanking machine for you. Because you have a big event coming up at WHYY. They're asking you about the filibuster coming up. So that's what happens. They go, well, let's get like a smart guy on the right side of the aisle. And, you know,
well,
say something good.
After some not so smart comments coming from the vice president, there should be lots of
ouch.
Lots to talk about.
But see how you that was
I'm
good.
Fired today,
that
Charlie.
Was good. Well, I think that's what that was, the thought bubble that was by Stephanie Ruhle yesterday, because Stephanie's a pretty smart person, comes from a financial background.
Very smart.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Stephanie Ruhle is thinking her thought bubble, this was it. Oh my God. That was the thought bubble yesterday. We'll get to that interview as well. But let's take us through what happened yesterday as far as the luncheon. Dan has, and thank you for getting us some audio. And you're not hearing this anywhere else, but luckily we have some in-house audio. But let's go through it. First of all, let's hear the governor as she was speaking to this very large crowd of hundreds, talking about the differences when you think about the economy and you think about a governor of Arkansas versus maybe a governor here in Pennsylvania. Here's Governor Huckabee Sanders.
What are northeastern states like Pennsylvania getting wrong, and how do we get them back on track?
What a way to welcome me to your state by asking me to tell you what you're doing wrong. Well, I think first you're sending the wrong leadership, and that's the main reason I'm here. The biggest problem that I see is you have the wrong people representing you, because they're not implementing and instilling conservative principles. And that's exactly what Dave McCormick is going to do. The reason I'm here is because I know how much leadership matters. I know that it makes a tremendous difference. And this race doesn't just impact Pennsylvania, it impacts the entire country. And this will likely be the deciding place of who makes decisions, not just for Pennsylvania, but for my kids in Arkansas as well. And I'm a mom. I have three kids. I have a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 9-year-old. And to Dave's point, I know that the decisions that are being made in Washington and in leadership positions are going to impact my kids far more than they're going to impact me. And that's why it's important for me to spend a day going all over Pennsylvania, making people show up to vote. Because ultimately, leadership matters. If you look at what is happening around our country and, frankly, around the world, you're not going to like what you see. And that's because we have allowed the wrong people to make decisions for us. And I have 100% confidence that Dave is going to make the right decisions. And I know that not just because I've heard him speak or I've read, you know, his bio. It's because I know him. It's because I know he and Nina. They have been friends of Brian and I's for the last several years, and they're not just people who say all the right things. They show up. They do the right things. At their core, they're motivated by a moral compass that I know will guide the decisions that they make, and that will have a true impact on our entire country. And he's going to focus on all the important things like building a strong economy, helping us get inflation under control, securing our border. But ultimately, and at the end of the day, it's not just the policy, but it's the person. It's who they are in their heart. It's who they are when they're having to make decisions that are not easy. And I know that every single decision he makes, he's going to have his kids, my kids, your grandkids in mind when he does it. And I think the best thing that you can do as a state is to make sure that you show up. Not just that you go and you vote, but that you go the extra mile. There's a reason that this organization has all these women and have brought you here together, because women get things done. And because if...
So it's getting a big applause. I want to ask you, Terry Tracy, I mean, you were there asking some of the questions. So how big of a difference does this make? And what is her endorsement because she's obviously popular with Republican women, Governor Huckabee Sanders. How important and how big is this for Dave McCormick?
So let me set the stage for for what was going on in the room, because I think that context really matters. Two organizations based in southeastern Pennsylvania with women CEOs who in their own right are trailblazers in their respective spaces. So Laura Mannion, who is the CEO of the Chester County Chamber of Commerce, and Amber Benzin, who runs an organization called Level Up. And Level Up seeks to empower women entrepreneurs, particularly those with from a center right ideological disposition and whatever pursuits they may also take in forays into public life or what have you. And so those two women really deserve the credit for what the event became, which was a ballroom with a tent, like a wedding venue sized room filled with 250, maybe more women from across southeastern Pennsylvania who are as engaged in the political political process and sort of broader public policy discourse in the region. And this was a really engaged, really energetic group. And if they are able to translate the energy that was in that room out into their communities and on election day, Dave is going to be in very good shape. It was really a very, very powerful room, and I was honored to be there to help facilitate the discussion. The question to Governor Huckabee Sanders, I think, is an interesting and important one. And that was that for the first time in the history of our nation, the American Southern tier, which is kind of defined as Texas to Florida, outpaced the Northeast Corridor in GDP output for the first time ever. So when you consider you've got, you know, Washington and D.C., the Acela Corridor is effectively the political and financial capital of the world, right? And then you've got Philadelphia and Boston and Baltimore and as dense as New Jersey is, all of these big economic centers along that corridor, and they're now being beat in terms of productivity and prosperity by Florida, Georgia, Texas, and yes, even Arkansas, because a lot of the things that Governor Sanders has been able to do down there, historic tax reform, education reform, regulatory reform, the things that just get stuck in Harrisburg too often. And I thought her answer was so telling. And it's a point that I frequently make in Broad Liberty as well, which is that the conditions that are created that prevent people from realizing their potential, economic or otherwise, are not natural disasters. They are not acts of God. They are a function of the policy decisions that our leadership makes. And that's the issue. Pennsylvania's stagnation, relative stagnation. We have so much going for us. And, you know, Dave got into that, which I think we'll get into as well. But to the extent that we are held back, we are holding ourselves back by putting the wrong people in positions of power. And Governor Huckabee Sanders made a really compelling argument in that room. And should that message be brought to scale, it's going to benefit Dave McCormick's campaign tremendously.
I just want to underline Terry's point here with more clips from Sanders. She talks about how the swamp and how it's insulting to the swamp to consider some Washington politicians members of said swamp. Take a listen.
I think, you know, so often you hear people refer to D.C. as the swamp. And I always say that that's actually insulting to the swamp because D.C. is so much worse. And we need people who understand that, that understand what they're up against. And you can't have people that understand the problem when they're part of it, which is exactly what you have right now and why we are so desperate for a change in leadership and why having people that understand how to fight against regulation because they've actually run a business. It makes a difference when you have signed to the front of a paycheck versus somebody who never has. That makes a huge difference when you're accountable to those people. You actually understand the process. And right now, we have leadership in Washington that, to Dave's point, they think government is the solution to everything. One of the great examples that I can give, my dad, who some of you may know, he's actually Governor Huckabee. I'm technically Governor Sanders, but so that's okay. I will gladly answer to both, very proud to claim my family, but he served as governor of Arkansas for nearly 11 years and one of the longest serving governors of our state. And my entire life, growing up in a political family, I heard my dad tell me that it was the best job he ever had. No matter what he did after, no matter what opportunities he had, which ways he served, running big business and being on TV, no matter what, he always said that that was the best job in the world.
Aw. Well, we'll hear more on this luncheon, and we'll hear from Dave McCormick as well, because he was talking a lot about his business plan, energy in Pennsylvania, which is huge, and asked some great questions. So we'll continue the conversation right around the corner with Terry Tracy, CEO of Broad and Liberty.
What would a Pennsylvania fully optimized, fully realizing its energy potential mean to both the national and economic interests of the United States and also checking Putin and Xi?
It is a huge opportunity. So
Dave
just
McCormick.
To put this in perspective, the natural gas reserves in Pennsylvania are the fourth largest in the world. If we were a country, we'd be the fourth largest. So another way to say it is we sit on top of Saudi Arabia in terms of natural gas capability. If you transferred oil, barrels of oil to natural gas, we could pump 11 million barrels of oil a day from Pennsylvania.
That's incredible. So we're joined here this morning by Broad and Liberty's Terry Tracy, who was there at this great luncheon with hundreds of especially women and important women to getting out the vote, to energizing the vote. And I think that's really the important piece of this, that you can look at registrations all you want, Terry, but who is energized and who is not energized? When Hillary Clinton, I will never forget it, when Hillary Clinton was against Trump back in 2016, my famous story is Rich Zeoli and I were walking through the crowd. The crowd was there to hear Springsteen. They were imported. They were brought in from the suburbs. They were not excited about her, and they were just not energized. And so that's the question here. Can this group of especially women leaders who are center to right energize the women's vote in Pennsylvania, especially women who I call in the closet? They don't want to admit to their friends, colleagues, or, you know, people in their yoga class that in fact they're more center or they're a little bit or a lot to the right.
That was one of the more powerful aspects of yesterday's event. I had a chance to talk to a number of the women who attended afterwards, and almost every one of them said, "God, it feels so good to be here in this space with these women." The permission structures in, you know, the outside world don't exist where for too many women who are conservative, who do certain feel differently about reproductive rights than Democrats would assume all women would feel or think. I mean, there was a lot of ideological diversity. You know, they were all center right. There was a lot of diversity in that room in terms of experience and policy positions and engagement in their communities. But they all felt like the power of that room was something that could be translated and scaled, because they realize that they're not alone and that working together, they really can be a very powerful force. And when you look at the polling, there's probably not a more important subset of the electorate for Dave to ultimately win the election. The most recent round of polling has Vice President Harris and President Trump effectively tied in Pennsylvania. As we know, Pennsylvania is the Keystone State, literally and metaphorically. And you have a situation where Dave in the polling has been consistently a few points behind the president. And that's because there is a small but stubborn subset of the electorate that is a Trump Casey voter. And so in order for Dave to offset that, he's to do two things. One, continue to eat in that population and convince them that Bob Casey has been a less than productive advocate for the Commonwealth in Washington, D.C. for 18 years. But also make inroads with population where you're probably going to have some women who would like to see the first woman elected president and vote for Harris. Mm-hmm. But look at Casey's record and look at Dave's record and say, you know what? Dave's the way to go. And that room there yesterday would be the tip of the spear in making that actually happen, boots on the ground and getting Dave's message out there. And he was, you know, Dave was really very comfortable in the event. It was I was with him the day before, too, because he had Brian Kemp from Georgia in, mm-hmm. and they were doing a small business tour, and they spent a lot of time with talking about economic policy. The head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was in. Also a very, very good event, substantive event. But if he can bottle and distill what was in that room yesterday and have that happen in Delaware County, Montgomery County, Bucks County, he's going to be in very good shape. And the public polling, which I think is flawed for a number of reasons and isn't quite telling the whole story, this is going to be a very close race, and Dave is well positioned to pull it out.
I know you have to get going because you have another live panel that you're going to be part of. What's your takeaway from yesterday and the McCormick race? I mean, even though the polls, and we talked about them earlier in Kale and Company, essentially are too close to talk to call if you look at the margin of error, mm-hmm. which is the closest anybody has come when you think about the name of Bob Casey, because this is a legendary name living off of his dad's coattails. His dad, the last real pro-life, you know, conservative Democrat, old school Democrat, and now adopting and attaching himself to Biden-Harris. You know, what do you think it'll take here in Pennsylvania for a McCormick to, I mean, this is a Herculean task for him to beat a legacy name.
Yeah.
And that's its name. It's in name only, but still.
Yeah. You know, you wish Senator Casey would just embrace what he has become and explain the evolution. It's one of the biggest criticisms of Vice President Harris. I don't understand. So 10 minutes ago, you wanted to ban fracking and, you know, you wanted to end the war in Israel. And then it's a complete, it's 180. And your head's on a swivel with these politicians. And Senator Casey, in many ways, is the same. You know, he was for the filibuster. Now he's against the filibuster. He was a friend of fracking. Now he's not a friend of fracking. The abortion issue is the most glaring one. Why does it feel like, why does he not feel compelled to explain these changes to the people? And why does the media not demand those answers? And the more the McCormick campaign can beat that drum and demand those answers, and they have a number of debates coming up in October where he'll have the opportunity to do that, I think it will present an opportunity for the electorate to really see this is the Bob Casey that they've been pulling the lever for the last, God, two decades, three decades. It's not the same guy. Mm-hmm. And you can be okay with the new Bob Casey, but you have to understand who he is, where he is, and why he has evolved the way he owes the people of the Commonwealth that explanation.
Yes. Yeah, and I think McCormick has to come out of the box on that one. I also think, you know, as far as for women and the women's vote, I think is in play, that women have to get away from, and it's really sexist if you think about it, because last night I was at the gym and I'm looking up at all the monitors, CNN, all the networks talking about, oh, these are Trump accusers from 20 years ago, whatever. It's really playing to culture, the culture of, hey, we're going to distract women voters with culture stuff, allegations that are there's no tangible evidence, and so it's tough to defend. So it's just out there in the airwaves type thing, and we're not going to talk about the policy issues. And for me, as a football mom, I think about guys versus girls, right? With the girls distracted with social media, how you look. Guys, what do they care about? They care about your stats and your performance on the field. Women have to, in my opinion, have to be smarter than that and not
making
get played.
Policy changes. It's actually about making people's lives better. And that's what we're doing by focusing on things like getting inflation under control. While it sounds good just to talk about it, it means something to that mom who can now pay for her groceries or put gas in her car to get to work.
This is the winning message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the area where progressive politics is, I think, the most vulnerable is its treatment of groups of people as a monolith, mm-hmm. because it is so offensive, right? Because of the color of your skin or your anatomy or some other immutable characteristic, you're supposed to look and think and feel a certain way.
Yeah.
Just writ large, end of story. And that it is so antithetical to the American idea. It is so, you know, it undermines the meritocracy. It undermines the idea of self-governance to think of us just as blobs and blocks. And that is where conservatives need to really make a full court press, because reasonable people, the people that will decide this election, will be susceptible to that message because they are independent, successful, caring Americans. And that's the argument we have to stick to.
Beautifully said, Terry Tracy. Thank you so much, broadandliberty.com. Until next time, my friend.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.